I want to take up as a pasuk that seems to me a difficult pasuk. Okay, with regard to the makas, where after makas shchin, okay, after makas shchin. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashkin Baboka Visyatsi Lufne Faro, Vamato Elov, Komarashim Lakeoivim, Shalachami Esamit Yavduni, Kibapama Zos, Anishalechas Koma Gefosa Elibcha, Uvavadecho Vamecha, Bavur Teda, Kiin Kamoni Bacholarts. Okay. So apparently this was a break. I mean, after Shin was a break. Okay. And then that was right before Barad. But then right before Barad. So then Moshe Rabbeinu tells Paro. He says like this: Hashem told him to tell him, "Ki atosh alachti es yadi va'achoscha v'samcha badover v'tikached min haaretz." Because now he says, "I really would simply destroy you all, you and your nation, with dever, and you'll be removed from the land. You'll be completely obliterated from the land. V'ulam, so I can simply destroy you. And kilo ratzisi kishehoisa yodi b'miknecho shekisim b'dever shilachtiyovi kisiyoscho v'samcho ima b'emos v'tikachi ben aretz." So I could have destroyed you with dever and all of its rain. V'ulam, however, bavruzos hem maraticho, I let you continue to exist. I made you continue to exist bavur because of this reason. What's the reason? Bavur haroschas kochi, one. Ulaman saper shmi b'chol aretz. Okay, ulaman saper shmi b'chol aretz doesn't mean that you should be misaper. It means in order that my name will be, people will be misaper shmi b'chol aretz. Okay. So yeah. It's a separate reason. Okay, one reason is bavur haroscha es kochi, that's one, and the other one is that the Shem Hashem should be niskadish. The Shem Hashem should be niskadish. Okay, so I understand the second reason, but the first reason seems difficult. What do you mean, bavur haros cho es kochi? I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to show Paro his strength. I mean, it's totally nonsensical. What's the purpose of... who cares about Paro? It's Russia. So, why... I mean, what does it mean, bavur haros cho es kochi? L'man sapesh mi b'chol aretz. I understand. That's a kiddush mar gadol. But haros cho es kochi? For Paro? What's the purpose? Okay. That's... That's my question. Right. Yeah. This is it. Yeah, okay. That's one question. Another question, and actually it goes against the Rashi, really. Rashi v'ani akshe eslev paro. So Rashi says that it's in v'ani akshe eslev paro. So this is again. Yeah, Zion. In the beginning of Era. Vani akshes leit paro verbasius ososai ves mofsai be'eretz mitzrayim. So, vani akshe. So, Rashi says, me'acha sher shia v'hisris kenegdi v'golu lefonai she'en achas ruach b'umos ovde kachovim lasei slev sholem lashuv tov li she'iskasha libo l'man harbos bo ososai v'sakiru es gvorosi. The chaim idasar shel hakadosh baruch hu maybe peronius alomos of the elilim kadesh yishmu yisro v'yiro. Okay, close pesukim. So Rashi says, so that's the purpose. So it seems, according to this medrash, the purpose is, Rashi is quoting the purpose for Kol Yisrael. That seems to go against the pasuk. Bavur Haros Chas Kochi. I mean, Haros Chas Kochi would seem to imply for Paro himself. Okay. And then Rashi goes on, he says, V'afal Pikein, Rashi says, B'chomesh Makos Rishonos Lo Nemar Ve'echazagat Hashem Eslev Paro. Ela Ve'yechazak Lev Paro. Okay, so even so, in spite of that, he says in the first Makkos, he wasn't Machazik as his lave. So I mean, what do you mean in spite of that? If that's the right thing, so he should have been Machazik Libo in the first Makkos though. I mean, what is Rashi? What's the Vafa Pikan? Ramban also, Ramban of course goes on the same problem with how a Kodesh Baruch Hu can Machazik lave Paro. So the Ramban says like this. He says, "Vani akshes leif paro." He says, "Amru b'medrash rabba, gilaloshu osil lachazik eslibo, bavur lasos bo adin, tachas shehevidom bavur akasha." Va'od shom, keniach badid eslibo amar biyachin mekam pischon pelaminim loma lahoisim imenish yasa tshuva. So the mean will say it wasn't fair. He couldn't do tshuva anyways. Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, he saw same PM Shalminim. Elaim Luleitzim Luyelitz, Masra Bal Pam Rishono Shni Ushlishis Menachozer, Vunobo Delas Menachuva, Kdelefro Mimeno Mashachata. So he gives the answer that he gave him a chance first time, second time, third time. Kach Para Russia, Kivin Sheshoga Kodesh Baruch, Leslachamisha Pom Veloz Yechal Dvorov, Amaloa Kodesh Baruch, Atak Shisis Abacha, Vechbalta Slipcha, Reni Moslach Tomal Tomosacha. Okay? So that's the famous Chazal that Rashi's quoting. The first five Makkos, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't interfere with his Bechira. The Hine Pirshu B'Sheila She'ishalu Akol, Ramban says. They explain the question everybody asks. Im Hashem Hikshas Libo, Ma Pisho? If God interfered with his Hashgacha, so what did he do wrong? And then the Ramban says something strange. He says, V'yesh bo shnei ta'amim. Ushnehem emes. There are two reasons, and they're both true. Ho echad. One is kiparo berisho asher osel Yisrael roos gedolos chinam, because he was a Russia and he did terrible things to the Jews. Nischayev limnoam imenu darkei atshuva. So that's why he was nischayev. It was demanded. It was just that he should be prevented from doing tshuva. Kasher bo bezep psukim rabim b'torah b'ksuvim. Many psukim indicates that's the way God's justice. Well, if he ma'isav arishonim nidun, and he's being judged according to his first ma'isim. Vatam abeis, and the second reason is ki hoyu chatzi hamakos olav b'fisho, that half of the makos were really his own fault. Ki lo nema b'hen rak v'yechazak leiv paro v'yichbad paro es libo. He ne lo rotzel l'shalchem u'kvar Hashem. Avo kasha gavra makos olov v'nila lizbolosom. He says, but when they multiplied and he couldn't tolerate them, rach libo v'yanim luch l'shalchem mikavad makos. And then he wanted to change his mind because he wanted to send them away just because he couldn't take the pain. Lo lasos ritzon boro. Not because he wanted to do God's will. V'oz hiksha Hashem esrucho v'imetz levavo. L'man sapeshmo. So insofar as that choice was concerned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu interfered with his bechira. In other words, his free will in terms of the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never interfered with. But there's another kind of free will that a person has that he could make a choice because of based upon certain pressures, psychological pressures. So Paro, because of those psychological pressures, was about to make a choice to let the Jews go free. But that choice God prevented him from doing. So it wasn't a menia of Bechira in Bechira Satov. Bechira Satov, really, he had a chance. And the menia was simply in a different kind of a different kind of a Bechira. A Bechira that a person has control, he makes a decision over certain psychological, based on certain psychological elements. So then he was willing to give in. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu stopped him. Okay. So my question, Ramban, is a simple one. Why does Ramban need two answers? I mean, why do you need two answers? I mean, Ramban was a great thinker. You know that we know that one answer for two questions is better than two answers for one question. So why does Ramban say that over here? He says there are two reasons. First of all, because he was a Russia, and he didn't deserve. He already had his choice for his chance for Bechira, and that chance was gone, so he didn't deserve it. And Ramban says, but secondly, there was no interference anyways. I mean, why? How do these two answers work? I mean, if you have the second answer, there's no need for the first answer. Now, if you have the first answer, there's no need for the second answer. It's an interesting Ramban. And Rashi also, because Rashi also had the same question, but just not as clear. Because Rashi says that really the Makos, that God knew they wouldn't do tshuva anyways, because they were too steeped in Avodah Zarah, so it was really for the benefit of Yisrael. Okay, so then, but then Rashi says, but nevertheless, in the first five Makos, he had a chance. He had free will. Why did it have to be a nevertheless? It's an interesting thing. I mean, you don't need two answers if you... Yeah, the real answer should be the answer that the Chazal mentioned. And it's interesting that the one that Chazal mentions, Ramban elaborates on, explains, it's not really an interference in the real Bechiras Ha'odom, where it's a Bocha Batov. That's a different kind of a Bechira. That's a pressure kind of a thing. He's under pressure, so he's about to give in. So there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu interfered and gave him the strength to counter the effects of the market. There's no interference in me. So what does Ramban have to bring that the first answer? Interesting thing. Yeah. Interesting is also the Ramban. When the Ramban talks about Paro, Ramban talks about Paro. So Ramban says in the beginning, he mentions that. And pass me a second. It says, when Paro first answered, when Moshe Rabbeinu first went to Paro, so he first went to Paro the first time. So it says, yeah. So first time, so yes. It says, "V'achab bo Moshe v'am v'yom Paro karmah Hashem l'keisrael shavachas ami v'yachogu li b'midbar." So Vayomar Paro, Mir Hashem Hashem Bakolo, L'shalach Es Yisrael, Lo Yodati Es Hashem, V'gam Es Yisrael Lo Hashaleach. So his answer was basically that on the surface it sounds like he's saying, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't recognize such a God. So he only recognizes, it would appear from the Pshut, he only recognizes his deities, his Avodah Zarah. But the Ramban says an interesting thing over there. Ramban says no. He says, "V'hine Paro hoya chacham gadol." Paro was a great chacham. V'yodeyas olakim. He knew God. Umodaba, and he admitted God's existence. Kasha Omar hu, like he said, Omar Risho, depending on whether it's the same Paro or not. LeYosef, acharei hodi olakim oschos kol zos. Ain novam v'chacham kamacha. So you see Paro, or his predecessor, and no reason to assume that he was any less than his predecessor. He says that he told Yosef, "Achar adil kemoschatz kolos ein novel l'chachum kamocha." So I mean that shows you that he recognized God. And then he said also, "Ish asher ruach alekimbo." He said that to the people. He says, "This is a man that has ruach alekim." They wouldn't know what he's talking about if he didn't know the idea of God. So Ramban says, you see that he knew, he really had a knowledge of God. He says, Avo lo hoya yodea sashem hamiyuchad. That's what he didn't know. You see. Va'ona lo yadati sashem. Lo yadati sashem means havaya. That I don't know. You see. Vehem, yeah. And vehem niskru v'chazru v'omru lo kashetzivu Elokeiho Ivrim Nikra Leno, Kiskulo Elokeiho Ivrim Bovad, Shehu Kel Shakai. Okay, so that's what the Ramban says. That then they switched and they said Elokeiho Ivrim. They said Elokei Shakai. Shakai apparently he understood, but Shem Avaya, Shem Miyuchad, that he didn't understand. That's what the Ramban says. But the Ramban says he was a Chacham Gadol. Interesting Ramban, Chacham Gadol, great Chacham. Okay. Yep. if he was a great chacham, so apparently, let me think of another point. The Rambam, I think we did the Rambam last year. The Rambam explains in the Murah, he explains the parsha of Ekya Asher Ekya. Okay, what was Moshe Rabbeinu saying to God, and what did God respond to him? In terms of the Kadosh Baruch Hu told him the Ekya Asher Ekya, and then he said that the Shema L'Kalacha. When you'll tell them this, for Shema L'Kalacha. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said, "No, Hainu Yishmuli." So one of the Rambam's questions was, then how could he go against the what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him before? And what's the whole idea of the Shema, of the Ekya Asher Ekya? So the Rambam explains, the Rambam gives a really deep explanation. Once you see it, you really see how it really stands out from the Pesukim. But he gives the explanation. He says that that really Moshe Rabbeinu's problem was that nobody before his time ever tried to influence people by saying or intimating that they have some special connection, with the Bari Olam. None of our people, none of the Avos, or Shame, he said, only that was really the Derech of Goyim. Goyim would do that, try to claim that they have some kind of connection with a deity or something. So he says, but that was alien to the Derech HaTorah, and that's why you have the Yeshiva of Shem Veiver. You see, the Yeshiva of Shem Veiver. Now, what's the Yeshiva of Shem? Why is it called the Yeshiva of Shem Veiver? Because Yeshiva means a place of learning. So the only methods that the Avos used were methods of intellectual methods. Okay, but never did they try to employ any kind of method which was simply that I have some connections with God, and God came to me, Mar Nevuah, and because of that you should listen to me, because I'm a holy man. See, that's Derech HaGayim. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, he taught him the proper way to teach Klal Yisrael the ideas, and in a short amount of time. So, and he says, and once you teach them these ideas, and intellectually they grasp what you're saying, they'll listen to you. Now, the second question is, now you're going to have to demonstrate that you're the one that was sent by God. That's something else. So that he gave him the nisim for. So apparently that's not the derech to try to influence people through claiming some mystical connections or powers. It's against the Derech HaTorah. So the question is, if that's the case, so then what exactly was Moshe Rabbeinu doing with Mitzrayim? I mean, wasn't that the same kind of thing with the Nisim? That basically he's doing the same thing. He's telling Paro that I have special connections, and if you do this, this will happen. You do that, that will happen. I mean, isn't that really similar to the derech that we don't employ, we don't use? So why was it okay over there? Correct? Yeah. There's another interesting point. The interesting point is that one Tfilas. I don't have it in front of me right now. The Ben Ezra mentions that when Moshe Rabbeinu said that it'll be Mispalel, so he really, God didn't tell him that he should be Mispalel. But he was Mispalel, and he was Somech on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would answer him. So that's another interesting point. The Ben Ezra, I don't have it right now. But the Ben Ezra mentions it. He says he did it by himself. Anybody know what it is? The Ben Ezra, well, no, Moshe Rabbeinu. That was when he said it'll be Mispalel for Paro. So he says that he didn't know. He did it me'atzmo. He did it me'atzmo. And then he was so much. He knew that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would answer his tefillah.
It's when he went outside the city.
When he went outside the city, was that case? Yeah. Betzesia Sa'ir, Efros Kapai? Yeah. So it's an interesting thing. On the surface, that in general, a person's not supposed to do. Not supposed to be somech on your tefillah. Your tefillah is going to be nana. So, bus of a dumb doesn't have that kind of knowledge. So how can Moshe Rabbeinu do that? Just an interesting question, side question. Okay. But I think let's get back to the major question. Major question is that it seems to go against what the Rambam is saying is the whole derech of the derech of the Avos and the derech of the Torah. So how could Moshe Rabbeinu, with regard to Paro, employ such a method of makos, which really sounds like the methods that they employ? And you see for Klal Yisrael that it wasn't really that wasn't the method. But apparently in the shlichus of Moshe Rabbeinu there were two different shlichus. One shlichus was for Klal Yisrael, and one shlichus was for Paro. And that you see in the psukim. And I mentioned also the Ramban says that his requests with regard to each shlichus was different. First, he said he didn't want to speak. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, okay, that's in Klal Yisrael. But with Paro, he still didn't give him a matir because of Kavod HaMalchus. But in general, you see that the shlichus involved two things. Ramban says also before, he says that he didn't want me Anochi Kielecha Paro. And the chiyotzias me asana asana. I don't want to. It was a double shlichus, two different shlichus. But what I want to say is that it's not simply two different shlichus in terms of two different settings, two different situations, but really the nature of each shlichus was different. Was a different kind of shlichus. And what's the answer to the question? The question is that how could Moshe Rabbeinu employ the method of the makos? The answer is, In the beginning of Eira. In the beginning of Eira. V'Eira al Avram el Yitzchak al Yaakov bekel shakai u'shmir Hashem lo nadati lahem. That's really the answer. What does that mean? So the Ramban says, he quotes the Ibn Ezra. He says, the kel shakai is that the koach yadi ashani shodeid bo mazolos v'ozer lebechirai. It means that God interferes with the natural law. Avo b'shmi shel havaya livro lohem chadoshos b'shinui hatolados. So he says the shem avaya, he says, was never employed before this, before the makos. Yeah. So what does that mean? So it means like this. You see, Paro, what was the mentality of Paro? See, you see, Paro was a chacham gadol. Well, he was a very intelligent person. And the question we have to ask is, how did the makos basically, how were they designed to affect him? How were they designed to affect him? You see he was no fool, because you see that the Moshe Rabbeinu, after the second mako, after Tzfardin, so Moshe Rabbeinu, when he approached him, so he says, you tell me, l'mosai atir l'cha, when should I be mispalel for you? The Yosei Atzfardin. You say, when should I be mispalel for you? So, why did Moshe Rabbeinu ask that question? Because, like Rashi says, because Paro thought, maybe he has some way, he has a foreknowledge of what's going to happen. I don't know how he could divine the future. He knows what's going to happen. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Here's Paro, I make it difficult for me. Tell me when you want it." And you see, he said, "Lamacha." Lamacha means that he was willing to endure an extra day of torture, you see, in order to put it to the test, see if it's really true, you see. So you see that the man was no fool. He wasn't he was a chacham, and he was testing to see whether Moshe Rabbeinu's principle is true. It was a metaphysical problem. He was chacham on it. Yeah, it was a metaphysical debate. You see again also by the dever, because the next thing was. After Kinnim, Kinnim was Esbal HaKimi. The reason why Kinnim was Esbal HaKimi was because from magicians can't do something like that. You see, magicians can't make a lice multiply all over a country from a small thing. That's such a phenomenon that is not possible. So they said Esbal HaKimi. But Paro apparently didn't listen to this. Didn't listen to that answer. But even though they couldn't reproduce it. But then after Arav was Asher Hiflat Hashem, there was another institution that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can differentiate between this group and that group. And the same thing by Dever. And by Dever he sent out messengers to find out. Did any of the Miknei Yisrael die? And he found Lo Meis Arechot, not even one. So you see that he was not a fool. I mean, he was investigating to check and see what the evidence is. Yeah. So as a matter of fact, that's what the Ramban really means. That he wasn't simply a fool. He was a chacham gadol, a very highly intelligent person, and he recognized God. He just didn't recognize the shame amayuchad, but the shame kel shakai that he recognized. What's the difference, really? What's the difference between the shame? He could say Isha Sheruach Alekimbo, and people and all of Mitzrayim understand what he's talking about. Yes, Ruach Alekim, yes, he has something of the divine, some spirit that's a very high, lofty spirit in man that he's he somehow, insofar as his knowledge is concerned, he has Yedias Hashem on a very high level. Ruach Alekimbo. I mean, you can recognize all this. You see. So what does it mean that he's a Chacham Gadol? What the Ramban means is like this, that he knew that God is the source of all Chachma. That was no question. It's a person, when the Ramban says he's a Chacham Gadol, that means basically that he has to have a certain Yedias Hashem, because like the Ram says, without the Yisori Yisodis, there's no Chachma's Batlum of Adul. So you see that he had an idea that there's a source for all Chachma, and the laws of nature come from a source of infinite chachma that man can't possibly fathom. He wasn't. That's what the Ramban means by a chacham gadol. He recognized the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what didn't he recognize? See, what's the difference between the shame hameyuchad and the shame kel shakai? What is Ramban referring to in terms of our understanding of the mentality of Paro? You see, the mind of Paro. So what it means is that Paro recognized the chachma and the laws of nature, and even recognize that there are certain individuals that are tuned into that chachma. Isha sheruach alekimbo, einavon lechacham achrei odil lekimos chos kolzos. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it possible for you to gain this knowledge. He gave you this knowledge, so you're navon lechacham. That's a tremendous thing. I mean, it means he understood chachma. But the only thing is, his disagreement was that chachma is in general in the universe and in nature, but not insofar as the affairs of man. In the affairs of man, we don't find that chachma, or laws, or rules of nature work over here, in this area. And basically, he came to the conclusion that many philosophers came to, which is against Yahadis, but they were very intelligent people, but they came to the conclusion that the laws, insofar as human affairs are concerned, there are no laws of nature. And a person can get away with great evil, and nothing, no laws, no natural laws over here. So in the affairs of man, he believed is you're dealing with a different system, a different kind of a system. Chachmas Elokim Kel Shakai, that he recognized. But when it comes to the affairs of man over there, that's now you're dealing with human desires, human wishes, the will of man. That, he held, does not come under this same system. That's a special thing. It exists because of God. God created it. But God created it, but it has its own, it has its functions, it exists in its own orbit. You see, it has its own set of, its own system. Over there, what is the system that works over there? Over there, he didn't hold there's no system, like certain philosophers, but he held there is a system. And that system is tapping into the supernatural. That you can, there's a supernatural system over there, insofar as the affairs of man are concerned. See, in that realm, the natural law doesn't invade that realm. That exists, and that's why he constantly, after the Makos, during the Makos, he invited the Chatumim. Why? Because he wanted to see if this is really a disproof. You see, is a disproof to his whole idea, his theory, that there's the supernatural works in this area. So if the Chatumim could duplicate even in a small way, that was enough for him to think that this is not really a disproof of my system. He has a greater supernatural power, but this is not really a disproof. As long, basically, what he did was he retreated. He was constantly, even though he was struck with the force of the Makos, but he was able to retreat into some kind of justification. Of course, like Ramban says, the Torah doesn't tell you all the arguments. Even when it describes arguments or statements from individuals, the Torah just gives you a little information about it. Can't give you everything that went on his mind. But basically, from the Torah, what we see is a person who was able to somehow retreat into his maintaining that the supernatural still has not been disproven over here. You see, the supernatural has not been disproven. What was really the purpose of the Makos? Really, what was the Makos trying to demonstrate? The Makos were trying to demonstrate the Shem HaMiyuchad. What is the Shem HaMiyuchad? The Shem HaMiyuchad means that it may appear to you that the affairs of man are something different, and it may appear to you that the laws of nature are something that would warrant being under a different kind of a system, but that's because you don't have the correct idea of God. Everything is really unified. Everything is from one unified source of Chachma, and that source penetrates the natural law, and this is the underlying element that Paro could not really conceive of, even up to including the will of man. The will of man is also under this same source of Chachma. That's the Shem HaMiyuchad. That's what means Miyuchad, because it's unified. That there's one unified source, and the unified source is Chachma. So there is no area that's devoid of this Chachma. And the affairs of man are under a system of Chachma, of Mishpat. See, that's what the Rambam points out in the end of the Mora. Now, what did Moshe Rabbeinu keep on saying to him several times? He says, Laman das ki lat Hashem ha'aretz, ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. See, the many psukim, more psukim, I can't remember right now, but the psukim say that ki lat Hashem ha'aretz, ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz, that the hashgacha, the source of Chachma for Kol HaOlam Kulo includes the affairs of man, and there the Chachma expresses itself in terms of Chachmas Hashem and Derech Hashem and Mishpat, and it's all one source. That's the Shem HaMiyuchad. That's why it's called Miyuchad. It means unified. One unified source for everything. Appears like many different things. Appears like things that are incommensurable. The Mishpat of man and the will of man and a stone falling. It appears like how could these two phenomena be in the same realm? But that's really what Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching Paro. And that's why every time, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say when he approached Paro? He says, Ki im moin atol shaleches ami. Hineni mevi and maybe I think it was a big volacha. Arba big volacha. Oh, the constantly every before all almost all the makas came moinato. What was he showing Paro? He was showing Paro that the constant statement of Moshe Rabbeinu was that
that last Ramban in Bo, he says, "Lachein Yomar Kosa Mosul Manteda Ki Ani Hashem Bekerav Arad."
Ki Ani Hashem Bekerav Arad, right?
Ahora Salashkacha Ki Lo Avo Sam LeMikrim Ki Daitam.
Right.
Vama LeManteda Ki Hashem Arad Bahora Salachidish Ki Heim Shelo Shabar Mayan. Vama Bavor Teda Ken Ki Mori Bchal Arad La Rosal Yecholah Shu Shalad Bchal Ei Makiv Biyado Ki Bchal Zayehud Mehametzriim Machishim Amastatkim.
Right. That's right. That's correct. Yeah. That's right. That's right. So the entire what Moshe Rabbeinu was showing Paro was that your will, the will that you have right now, is going to be that which determines what the outcome, what the fate of Mitzrayim is going to be. That im einecha mishalayach. Your act of being the mine is the determinant, you see. Your will. Why? Because that was something that was inconceivable. That was something to him was inconceivable, that his will should be involved in the source of the natural law, of Chachma. That was something that was alien to him. See, that was the shame on the Yuchad was removed from him. That possibility. That's why he said, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, his spore alive. Tell me, make it difficult. When? Lamasai. He said, Lamachar. It's not just the fact that he doesn't want to, but the everything is completely under control. In order to demonstrate that tefillah, by the way, Moshe Rabbeinu really never said that he has a, never indicated that it's his power. On the contrary, he says, "Lamosai hatelcha, espalul Hashem." Nothing took place without tefillah. So basically, what were the principles? What were the principles that Moshe Rabbeinu was really teaching Paro? He was teaching Paro the principle of the Shem HaMeyuchad, and also the idea. You see, why did the makos have to be punishments? Why did they have to be? If it was a metaphysical question, so then why couldn't it be simply a phenomenon, extraneous phenomenon? And another question is, just because, how does one makkah really show that tilat Hashem haaretz? Maybe just this event, you see? But the answer is, because it was a disproof of his whole system. Namely, that there's a supernatural oasis in the universe, so to speak. You see, that was his idea. Once that was broken, then he was a chacham gadol, and it was Kilat Hashem Aretz. You see, if he were not a Chacham Gadol, the Makos wouldn't even be anything. Because he could dismiss it and say, this is an isolated event? That's an isolated event. A person that's not a Chacham, that you see people hang on to supernatural beliefs, in spite of the fact that reality contradicts them constantly, on a constant basis, and in spite of the fact that they have no basis for it. But you see that a person that is not a chacham doesn't have a big struggle with maintaining his crazy ideas. If he doesn't have a free mind, Paro was different. That's what the Ramban says. Paro was a chacham gadol. He investigated. He checked. He knew the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kel Shakai, he understood. It was just one point. The one point was that when it comes to the affairs of man and the will of man, that's a personal kind of a thing. That it doesn't make sense that comes under the same law, the same source as the laws of nature. This is something that was created by God, but it's a different kind of a thing. We don't see any laws here, and they didn't make sense to him that this area is penetrated by the same source of Chochmas HaOlam, and over here it's Chochmas HaMishpat. It's Chochmas HaMishpat. That's why the Makos really were punishments, were onshim. Why? Because it was really to demonstrate not just the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha prevails over here, but the fact that there's Chav Onish. That's why you have the Flesi, that's Chav Onish. That was essential in the Makos. You see, though, very interesting. In the beginning, it wasn't that way. The very first time that he met with Paro, he wasn't a Makos. It was simply an event which was unexplainable through his method of through his methods. That was his first introduction. But then after that, it was institutions of Schar Vonish. But basically, Paro had to be a Chacham. If he weren't a Chacham, the Makos wouldn't even work. They'd be isolated events. So you see that here, his whole debate with Moshe Rabbeinu was based on a deep metaphysical position, which wasn't stupid. It wasn't completely a stupid position. He was a Chacham Gadol, but the Makos really were given to him to teach him the true ideas. Kilat Hashem Aretz. Okay. Yeah. So now.
We said further that the Yankees took away the ability for Paro to let them go, the Rambam said, just because of the fear of the plague. That was also to this point to show that.
So now, yes, that's what you see. He was an intelligent fellow, and he was searching. He wanted to put the evidence together. He wasn't a fool. So his decision, that's something else. Between a person engaging in a study and what his decision making is, there's a long road there. But anyways. But you see that he did investigate, and he was moved. He was moved intellectually. I mean, why would he investigate if he weren't moved? If intellectually he could dismiss it, intellectually he saw that this is an interesting thing, that my will is now determining, not in a good way, but in a very negative way, an onish that's from the source of all creation. I mean, this to him was an astounding idea against his way of thinking. But he checked and apparently it was convincing. So now you see one thing. Let's get back to the question I asked from the Rambam. The Rambam says that we don't use these kind of methods. The derech of the Ovos is not to use these kind of methods. But what is? Yeah, but so how could Moshe Rabbeinu use it? He says, tell me with Paro. No, that's not true. If that's not the method, we don't use the method with anybody. They were all Bnei Noach before. So it wasn't with Paro and anybody else. Okay? Yeah. But the answer is, that's really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said in Vo'era. Vo'era al Avram al Yitzchak al Yaakov bekel Shekai. Kel Shekai means, yes, the Borei Olam is behind everything, and his Hashgacha is manifest, is Hashgacha, for those who have the ability to see it, who have the insight to see it. The Hashgacha is there, and Avram was Zocha to the Brachos, and the Hashgacha is there. That's Kel Shakai. But there never was a manifest demonstration. See, that never took place before. So therefore, before, if a person would say that God came to me, that would be Darkei Avodah Zarah. Why? Because then all it is just an emotional appeal and the same kind of supernatural appeal that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah have and that they're successful with. You see? That's Keneged HaTorah. So therefore, as long as it's Kel Shakai, as long as HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't do any change in the laws of nature, any manifest change, so anyone that makes recourse to that method is ipso facto in the person that he's relating to is creating in that person a supernatural kind of belief. Because he's leading him to believe that there's an aura of holiness and something mystical and special about this person, and that's what's guiding the followers. And that's Keneged Kol HaTorah Kulo, that's Darkei Avodah Zarah. But the reason why that's so is because the information that's available is not, the information that's available is such that there is no logical way, it's not a logical appeal, you see, because there is no logical appeal. Of course, and there is no logical appeal outside the realm of the yeshiva of Shem Vaver, of Chachma, of learning Torah ideas and learning Chachma. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said changed. But there was never a way to manifest logically through a shinuya teva to have an appeal through a change in the teva to an adam through chachma, and in a way that it's manifest to the individual and his mind draws the conclusion without a supernatural kind of appeal. That was impossible before, you see, because before there never were any events which would warrant such a conclusion. Do you follow? So therefore, anyone that tried to influence people by saying he has some kind of a communication with God, I mean, that's completely supernatural. But that was before. But after the Avos, when Moshe Rabbeinu Shlichus came into existence, then there was a change. Then it was a Shmir Hashem. Then the events were such that warranted a logical manifestly warranted logical conclusions. That's okay for man to do if it's available to him. Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to do it. Why? Because a person could teach through a logical system if that logical system is available. Before that, in the time of the Avos, there was no such system. So then making recourse to a person's connection to the fact that God related to him, spoke to him, is supernatural. But that's because it's Kel Shakai. But Shmir Hashem lo nadatim. But now, after this this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will was that on the that it shouldn't be that way anymore. That at this moment it should be Shmir Hashem. So therefore there was no violation of the method. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu made available facts for man to draw a logical conclusion, you see, from those facts. Okay? So that was Derech Hashem. So the Derech Hashem, but the Derech Hashem changed because of the Isgalus, but not because of the Derech. Okay? So that's the difference. But nevertheless, it's interesting. You see that there were two programs. One program was for Klal Yisrael, which followed the initial derech of the Avos, which was without the Shmir Hashem. It was following the Kel Shakai, because for Klal Yisrael, they were on a different level. For them, they were able to go through the process of limud, of genuine limud. They didn't need the Hizgalus of the Shem Hashem. They didn't need that. That wasn't necessary. The Hizgalus of the Shem HaMiyuchah. What it means by the Hizgalus of the Shem HaMiyuchah means exactly what we said before. That it's manifest that there's one source behind everything. That's what it means. Okay, that's the Shmir Hashem. Shmir Hashem means that's what became manifest in the Makos. So in the Makos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu introduced a different way of limud, a different method of limud that wasn't known to the Avos. That wasn't available to the Avos. It was a different method of limud. For whom was that method of limud created? For who? For Paro. So there were two different programs. One program was the program that was the same as the Derech Avos of the Erel Avin Tzera Yaakov Kel Shakai. That was for Klal Yisrael, because they were Chachamim, so for them it wouldn't be good to change the program. But for Paro and for Mitzrayim, it was a different program. But was it the program similar to the one that the Odeh Varzal used? Chas v'Shalom. That program, that's not Derech Hashem. It was Derech Hashem because it was Chachma. But Chachma through a different means, through a different method. So now you see what the Ramban... Yes?
How do you know that for Klal Yisrael, he used
Because that's the whole thing before, when he went in his first shlichus. When he went to, when he went, that's the whole dialogue. Yekia Shere, that's the Yekia Sherekia. So you see, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that Klal Yisrael should not avail itself of the same method that the Mitzrim had. Because while it's a greater Isgalus, it's less of an individual that requires such a method. That's still not the real ultimate method. The ultimate method is really Chochmah. But for the situation in Mitzrayim, there was a different method of Limud. It was a Yerida, because that's not the real Derech Hashem, but that was employed over here. That was employed over here. It was necessary over here. That's God's wisdom dictated that this is the method that should be used. But the method was Chachma in the same manner. It didn't reach into any other part of the human being other than his Sechel, other than the Sechel Anushi, the Tzelem Alakim. But it's a different approach, a different method. So, yeah.
According to your explanation, a lot of...
So, now let's get back to the original question. The original question was, Laman Aroscha Eskochi to Paro. And the other question was... The answer to Ramban's. Yeah, why did Ramban need two answers? But now I think the answer emerges. See, the Ramban knows very well that two answers is not good. So he gives two answers a reason for it. The reason is what the Ramban is saying is like this. There are two different problems here. One problem is Paro as an individual. Schar v'onesh. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu take away his free will, his Bechira? That's one problem. That's the first problem. You see, that's what the Ramban addresses. But the Ramban says... Yeah, where's the Ramban again? Ramban is... Yeah. Right. What Ramban says, you look at the Ramban's lashon, you see clearly that that's what he's addressing over there. Because Ramban says, yeah, he says, Ho echad ki paro berisho asher osel Yisrael roz gedolos chinam nischayev linoa mimenu darkei atshuva. Kasha bo bozeh psukim harbe ulefi maisov harishonim nidun. What does it mean? It means that's a question on the din ha'adam. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Dan Paro. So he says the question must be viewed from two frameworks. One framework is how is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Dan a person like Paro? Was it unfair, unjust? Called Rachav Mishpat. So that the Ramban says, that's not a question. Why? Because the institution of Bechira is a natural institution for the soul. It's the situation where the soul has the potential to be actualized, to actualize itself. That is not available to every soul. If the soul is corrupt and destroyed and distorted to the point where it has become actualized as something evil, then there's no more Bechira. There's no more Bechira. That's called Rachav Mishpat. So the situation of Bechira itself demands a certain state. Initially an individual has that Bechira. But if the person is a Rasha, if the soul becomes actualized into an entity of evil, then that's it. There's no more mishpat. It's not against mishpat that he should be resurrected again. He should have another chance. I mean, that's it. That's God's mishpat. The soul was placed in a situation of bechira, and it was actualized l'ra. So now it's completely removed from the realm of chachma, and it's gone. Okay. So that's the Ramban says, that's the din, and that's insofar as understanding the din for Paro as a yochid, as an individual, that's being judged by God. He says, that's no kasha. He says, but then there's another question. The question is the Derech Hashem. You see, the Derech Hashem. Because the Derech Hashem is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Malamed. And when Moshe Rabbeinu went to Paro, Went to Paro, it was with an instrument of Limud, a Derech of Limud. And if the individual's Bechira were interfered with, so then it could not be a demonstration. It could not be an incident of Limud. There's no Limud then. That means that the person has no choice. Bechira, you know, isn't just exercised in terms of Maisa. In terms of Chachma also is Bechira. That's even many times, most times, more important Bechira. Person has a choice to think about a problem through honestly and pursue every avenue, or make him block off certain avenues. So the Bechira in analysis is an essential phenomenon, And if the individual has no Bechira, there's no Melamed, and there's no Talmud. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be using a different kind of a method, which is not the Derech Hashem to use. You see? So that the Ramban says, no, that's not true. Because insofar as the Derech that was employed, you see he had free will, and he only gave in Machmas Kovet HaMakos. But in terms of the whole institution of the Makos were a situation of Limud, because that's the Derech Hashem. Okay, so that's why the Ramban says that Shtei Tshuvos B'Davar. Shtei Tshuvos B'Davar means not that you have a problem and you have to give two answers. One answer is enough. It means there are two problems here, two separate problems. And we see the Makos were designed. If you study the Makos, you see he was a Chacham Gadol, like the Ramban says, and they were designed to break through and to demonstrate a falsehood that he held, which Chachma would Chachma alone perhaps would dictate. Wouldn't make him not a Chacham if he comes to that conclusion. But now with the Hisgalus of the Makos, a different method of Limud, he had the opportunity to use his Chachma and be moved by Chachma in a way that no man ever had before or since, basically. Because that was the situation at Amakos. So that's what the Pasuk says. V'ulam bavurzos hemaraticha. Bavurzos hemaraticha. What does the Pasuk mean? It means like this. Bavurzos hemaraticha. It's not two reasons. Bavur haroschas kochi, in order to demonstrate to you the true idea of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with Bnei Adam, human affairs as well, that he's the source of everything. Haros Chas Kochi Uleman Saper Shmi B'chol Aretz, goes on everything. It means, like the Uleman Saper doesn't mean that he should be Mesaper. He's like the Ibn Ezra says, Ain't a time Shepara Yishel Teit Bolu Mesaper Kavad Hashem Rak Yisuper Shmo B'chol Dor V'dor. Okay, but Yisuper Shmo B'chol Dor V'dor is two things. One is the Osos, that's Kiddushmo, but also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a human being the opportunity to see through Chochma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sholeit B'chol Haaretz. That itself is something which is a limud, which is a source of limud. So the Makos and the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a human being a different program where he could learn through the manifestation of the Makos, a different program of Limud, that itself is part of the Sipur Shmo B'chol Haaretz. Okay. All the Ramban is saying is that it wouldn't be the Derech Hashem if Paro wouldn't be able to be a Talmud. So that, he says, never happened. He never was as a Limud. If the Makos were just, if Paro had no Bechira, okay, that would mean he has no intellectual Bechira. So then, if that were the case, so then he could not be a Talmud. So then the Makos is not Derech Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Malame. And the Osos and the Mofsim were vehicles of Limud. Because like I said, that's not the Derech. That's not the Derech Hashem to teach in that manner. Only then. Because of the galus of the Shem Hashem, of the Shem HaMiyuchad through the Makos, as I explain what that means. So the Ramban is saying that all the Makos were really Limud. Why did he give in? He gave in because he couldn't tolerate it. And when that happened, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu offset the emotional weakness. But in terms that, but the whole Makos themselves, all the Makos were really given as an institution of Limud. That's a side thing. In other words, if he didn't have any free, if his free will were removed, then he'd be an automaton. He wouldn't be a subject. He could not be a subject. He could not be a Talmud. That he wasn't. He was a free agent, and therefore he was a Talmud. But the only thing is that when it came to emotional weakness, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu supported him so that he shouldn't give in because of emotional weakness. But not as a Talmud. As a Talmud, he was still free. Even in the last five, he was always free. That's what the Ramban is explaining. Because otherwise, it wouldn't be the Derech Hashem. It would lack in the Derech Hashem. And the Makos were a manifestation of the Derech Hashem, not just impose force. That's not the Derech Hashem. Derech Hashem is Limud, to reach man through Chochmah. So That's a leman saper v'shmi b'chol ha'aretz, to show not just the makos, but the understanding of the makos. What's the understanding of the makos? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought makos and taught man through reaching or giving the opportunity to reach the Tzelem Elokim and to see God from Chachma. That's the essence of all the makos. It's a different form of the Derech Hashem. So that if Paro was, it's not the same form as before, but it's the same. It's the same. Essentially, it's the same method. And that God did that, and that idea of the makos is the whole essence of the makos. So if Paro were an automaton, you wouldn't have the whole limit of the makos. Would be nothing. So what's so it wouldn't be any l'sapa shmi b'chol aretz in terms of the makos. If the makos were not an entity of limud, then they wouldn't be worthy of Sipur. They wouldn't be worthy of Sipur. They're worthy of Sipur because they're an entity of limud. Yes.
So I understand that Paro as an entity was an entity of limud for the Mitzrayim. And
that's a good. That's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah, but that we can't answer. That we don't answer. That's Chachmas Hashem. Why he wanted it? That's Chachmas Hashem. But why was he really? That's what the Ramban is saying. Don't make a mistake. Even though that's why the Ramban gives two answers, because it says don't make a mistake to think that Chazal. Chazal just gives one point. He says, but the Shteichuvas Bedar. He really wasn't worthy. But why God chose him as a vehicle, that's only Chachmas Hashem, we don't know that. But the fact is, it would be impossible if he didn't have free will for the Makkos to have any meaning. That's really the Pshat of the Pasuk. One reason, Bavur Haros Chos Kochi, in order that it should be manifest that you were a Talmud, you had the opportunity to be a Talmud, Oleman Sapash Mevachal Aretz, that's the qualification of the Makkos. The qualification of the Makos is that it's Derech Hashem and Derech Chachma, even though it was the greatest Esgalos, but it wasn't a deviation from the Derech. That's the benefit of Makos. If you just look at Makos, just supernatural events, then it has no value for Kol Yisrael, it has no value for Yadis. Yes. See, what the Ramban is really trying to show you by saying Shtei Tshuva is Bedavar. Why is saying Shtei Tshuva is Bedavar? Because he wants to highlight what Chazal are doing. If you would have just left the Chazal, you would think that that's the answer to the question of the personal injustice. But the Ramban is trying to show there's a far deeper idea in what Chazal is saying. And the way that he shows you that idea is by getting rid of the first problem right away, in terms of justice. And now there's a more serious problem, okay? A question of the Derech Hashem, I mean, that's... justice of Yahweh, we don't understand. But the Derech Hashem is something which is a whole Derech of Torah. He says that problem is what Chazal are answering. Okay? But don't confuse, because that's the whole essence of the Makkos. That's the whole essence of the Limud. That's more important. Okay? So he does that by getting rid of the first problem. So now he focuses on the second problem, which is the essence. Laman Haros Chos Kochi, Laman Sapar Shmi B'chol Aretz. That's the whole purpose of the Makkos. So you see that the way the world looks at the Makkos is basically no limud. I mean, it's a supernatural phenomenon. There's no limud. There's l'man teida ki lad Hashem aretz. Yedia. It's limud. Without limud, it's nothing. Yeah, I forgot to answer one question. Yeah, the question of how Moshe Rabbeinu could be sure of his tefillah. So, but now you understand. Ordinarily, a person can't be sure of his tefillah, even Moshe Rabbeinu. But over here, he was sure of the tefillah because... He knew he understood the program of limud, and the program of limud warranted that his tefillah should be nenah.